Okay, so in this season of the Spirit that we're in now, season of Pentecost, I myself find it a blessing myself to focus in deeper on what it is that God intends for us to know and to believe when it comes to the Spirit of God. About that event, we know that that event that happened so long ago, it wasn't that Spirit poured out. It wasn't just about that event that happened so long ago and an important story from the Scriptures, but really it is about, for us, for me, for you, a new reality, a whole new reality for us. The Holy Spirit is outpoured into this world. So life empowered by the Spirit is an altogether new and available reality for us that we can live within. The Scriptures are filled with images and stories that can teach us of life empowered by the Spirit. But in the book of Acts, it is especially rich in this area. There is for us in Acts, there's this really significant look inside of what it was like for the early church to begin to try to live as Christians, to form and to grow as the church. And it was all under the empowerment and the guidance of the Spirit of God. So we're reading this week from the book of Acts, from chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. The Apostle Paul, we see throughout the New Testament, Paul plays such a huge role in the sharing of the gospel and the spreading of the church. The Apostle Peter and others too. And so we have the book of Acts, or Acts of the Apostles, it's called, as an account of the amazing things that they did, that the traveling all around, sharing of the gospel. And the apostles obviously worked tremendously hard as servants of God. But there is a little something more to their success in ministry, of course, this living Spirit of God with them, this hidden element in life that makes the difference. We see in this story we read how Paul and his companions were traveling. They were sent out on their great commission to preach the gospel to all nations. And Paul had been successful in his work. He had plans now, all laid out, plans all laid out for what was next. But we see here in the Scripture that clearly it wasn't just that Paul was going where he wanted to go to share the gospel, but really that the Spirit of God was intricately involved all along the way, leading them, showing them the next steps of their journey. Paul plans to make his next missionary venture into in Asia, although they are forbidden by the Spirit to go there, the Scripture says. They attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. They're rerouted. Doors are shut. It's not going to happen there. And then it's then that Paul had a vision that shows him the way forward of the man from Macedonia calling for him. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't allow them, it says. Though it is a little unclear how this worked exactly, how a seemingly invisible force in the world, the spirit, forbids one's movements exactly. And almost certainly they were not given explicit written instructions from God to guide their way. It is not as though the Spirit of God held them down by force, forbidding their movements, forbidding them to go where they wanted to. No, no, really, really, they were listening to the Spirit. They knew the Spirit's calling because they were listening for the Spirit. They were listening, waiting for the Spirit to lead them instead of charging right in. It's not by sheer human willpower that they go, but by listening, led by the Spirit of God. We went to go swimming just yesterday, about 12:45, and we'd been playing outside, and it was hot all morning, and so after lunch, we got all dressed up for the occasion, swimming suits on, sunscreen, all lathered up. Everybody got in the car, and we drove to town, and on our way, it started to storm. You remember yesterday, lightning, thunder, rain. So we came back and decided to get ice. We'd just get ice cream instead. So that's what we did. We got to Dairy Queen, and we got rained on just a little bit into the store, which was about enough water for me, really. But we were well-dressed for the occasion, well-dressed for that. Stephanie and I, we got to go to the beach just a few weeks ago. And we got ready, and we went down to the beach, and we walked a little bit, and got a couple of lounge chairs to sit on. And I felt, after a while, I felt a little bad for coming all the way to the beach and not giving the water the attention it deserves, you know. And so I went down, you know, and put my toes in just a little bit, 1 foot in the water and then the other, and then went back. And of course, we spent the rest of the time, you know, sitting in the chairs there. And I'm afraid that we can make this our habit when it comes to our life in Christ, where we dip our toes in just a little bit, just a sprinkle of the Spirit here and there when we need it. But God is active. God is present in the ins and outs of our days. God can lead us as we make our way in the world, and I'm afraid we can miss it if we go on our own way, missing the goodness of living fully in the Spirit's leading. John Ortberg wrote in one of his books that I was reading that the picture that Jesus uses for life in the Spirit in the Gospel of John is a river. Rivers are often mentioned in the Scriptures as a picture of the spiritual life. Where there are dry souls, there's a river. And so he asks, what if it is our job? What if it's our main job just to jump into the river, to figure out how to stay in that flow of that river of God's Spirit, how to keep ourselves aware and submitted to God's Spirit so that we are flowing in those rivers of living water. And Paul was open to seeing the vision that God had for him. He was listening. And the truth is, really, that Paul would not have been so effectively guided as we see in this story were he not totally committed to God's Spirit and God's leading, open to be to being guided, attuned to the Spirit steering him, and then willing to have his plans interrupted, totally changed, rerouted for the sake of the gospel. The man in Paul's vision, when the Spirit speaks to him, this man in Paul's vision is begging for Paul to come. He needs help. He needs the gospel. And so there is this open door for them to go through now. And they are led not into Asia as Paul had planned, but they listen to the Spirit's calling through this vision of a man begging for help. And the Spirit leads them now into their first missionary journey into Europe instead, and their first converts to Christianity there. And we'd see that the Spirit is leading not only in miraculous, unexplainable ways, but also we see here that the Spirit leads where there are open hearts. The Spirit leads where there are people who are in need. That is where the Spirit is leading. There, God is leading to those who are in need. There are many we come across throughout our days who are hurting for good news. People searching. People desperately, spiritually thirsty. Just as the man from Paul's vision was calling, they are calling. They are calling us too. The Spirit of Jesus calls us, is present in the least of these who are in need, the Scriptures say. The spiritual task before us then is to listen, to follow where He leads, no matter where He leads. Pastor David told me about this quote this week that says basically, you love as well as you are willing to be inconvenienced. And this is something I need to hear myself. This is easier said than done, of course. We are safe in our comfort zones. We make our plans for a reason. But this is the way it works with the Spirit's leading. It's about how well we are willing to inconvenience ourselves to follow where the Spirit leads. The author and priest, Henry Nouwen, he wrote of a conversation that he had once, which helped him think about interruptions in a new way, as something other than just a bother, which they can be. But he wrote that while visiting the University of Notre Dame, where he had been a teacher for a few years, he met this older, experienced professor who had spent most of his life there teaching. And while they walked around the campus, the professor said with a certain sadness in his voice, he said, you know, my whole life I have been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions really were my work, he said. And now one went on to be transformed by this professor's statement. He wrote later, he said, it has been the interruptions, he confessed, it has been the interruptions to my everyday life that have most revealed God to me. All of these interruptions presented themselves as opportunities, invited me to look in a new way. Each interruption took something away from me, he said. But each interruption offered something new too. And so it could be, we could see this all in a whole new way, seeing this inconveniences, these interruptions, instead, really, as though they are a gift. I could resist, I could get frustrated, but it could be instead that they're really an opportunity to be open to God, to stay in step with the Spirit in my life. I'm preaching to myself here. So we have to ask ourselves, is our task at hand really so important? Or does God mean for me to really be doing something else entirely? I went to pray with a friend this last week, and I thought that I'd just pray with him quick, get back to work, you know. That's not how it worked. And instead, he told me his story. And I'm so glad he did. He told me about when he was little, growing up in the church. He could always tell when the pastor would give the invitation. He could always tell. It seemed like he could almost see that Jesus was calling him. And on for some time, it was like Jesus was calling for him to come his way. And he grew up, and he fell away from the church, and he backslid, as he said, away from what was good and right in his life. And years later, down the road, he kind of got coerced, he said, into going this church, and went mostly to sit with this girl that was going to be there, and he went, and he sat with this girl and flirted with her mostly until the pastor gave the invitation, and it was like Jesus was calling again. And he went. He went. And in tears, he told me that it was then that finally he knew he was with God. He was with God. It was like a flood of mercy was rushing over him. He was with God, he said. And Jesus is calling us, beckoning us to come and to live in his presence, to go with God, to jump all the way in to the Spirit's leading. The world is waiting too, desperate, in need of good news, calling just as the Spirit calls. I want to close with this quote by the great spiritual writer Richard Foster. And he said that in our day, heaven and earth are on tiptoe, waiting for the emerging of a Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered people. All of creation watches expectantly, he said, for the springing up of a people who know in this life the life and the power of the Spirit of God. Heaven and earth are on tiptoe, waiting. And Richard Foster, he said, it has happened before. It's happened before, and it can happen again. It's happened before. It can happen again. Amen.